Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 2 of the Thrive podcast hosted by Jayla Bard. Today, I am with a friend. He also goes to USC. Let me try to give you like a good introduction. Jared Lee is an AI for business major, freshman at USC. He originates from Seattle, Washington, and he has a cute puppy. Okay, Jared, say hi to everyone.
Hi, I'm Jared.
How do you feel? Is this your first time being on a big production like this?
Yeah, I'm excited.
All right. Do you listen to podcasts, Jared?
On occasion, but not frequently.
Okay. Valid. I really wanted to bring you on specifically because I feel like you would bring a lot of perspective to our conversation today. So just for some backstory, my podcast is focused on wellness and well-being. So every episode features a very unique topic. This is episode 2. So the first episode I filmed by myself and I discussed acne. There's a whole episode on that. And then this one is a little bit more, I'm a little late to the trend, but this is like a trend on social media. It's 2024 ins and outs. And so essentially what that is just people are creating lists of things that they're bringing into 2024 and things that they're taking out. And this one is specifically centered around well-being and things that like can contribute to your happiness and mental health and productivity, things like that. So I made like a brief list and we're gonna go through it because some of them are maybe can be contradicting. So we'll get your opinion on these. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay, hit me.
All right. So number one for in is trying. I'm sorry, this is number one for in is trying new clubs. What do you think about that right off the bat?
I think that that's a great in. I think that trying new clubs and mixing with different groups of people is a great way to have fun and be social in college. Maybe find something that you didn't really know that you're interested in.
Right. And I heard that you had an experience this semester with a club. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that?
Yeah. At the start of this semester, I decided to pledge a business fraternity. But about halfway through-ish, I had, after discussing with many people, like my friends and others that are close to me, I realized that it was probably better for me to drop that business fraternity and kind of spend my time doing other things.
Right. That makes sense. I also know that you're not like big on Greek life because you have the option of doing like a regular fraternity, but you chose not to. I put Greek life as an out, but I know that can be controversial and I'm not like fully against it, but I think it's important to like explore both sides. So why did you choose like a pre-professional frat and not traditional Greek life?
I think everyone kind of knows like the people they want to hang around with and the cultures of the organizations they want to be a part of. And I think that most people should try and at least like talk to people or like maybe go to some rush events for these things just to see what like the vibe is like. But me personally, I felt that maybe the business fraternity was going to be something that was better for me, both socially, academically, professionally, or in whatever way. I just think it was a better fit for me. But I do think that everyone should give anything a shot that they want to try out.
Yeah, that's true. Like a lot of college is like character building. And as your mom would say, trying something and then failing and then like realizing she's right.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Getting away from that, this is kind of funny, but like so true. And I stand by this. A college in, I put eating alone. like specifically in the dining halls. Just like some backstory on this. Like, I feel like the first couple weeks of school, me and my roommate made it like our mission to eat every single meal together. And like, even though I love quality time with her and like I could spend all day with her, I feel like eating alone just like it's a new breakthrough with like development. I feel like you have to. It's so different from high school and like middle school when you're always sitting at like big tables and everyone's eating at the same time. Like, I feel like it really makes you embrace individuality and like freedom because you're just on your own schedule. And a big part of it is like not being on your phone the whole time. Like, sometimes I'll have my AirPods in and like listen to music when I'm eating alone. But I think it's just like cool to do that without needing to be with someone or feeling anxious to be in there without someone. Because at this point, like, we're living in college and it's like unrealistic to like eat every meal with someone, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think I agree. It's like being in college the first time, like a lot of people are being like away from home and learning how to like be by yourself and be independent. I mean, I know it's still a dining hall, but like doing things by yourself, I think that is important. Yeah, to like get you time to think too and not be around other people all the time.
Yeah, kind of like a alone time, but like not alone time, but still mm-hmm. kind of alone time. Because sometimes your roommates are home and like you don't have that space. But do you ever feel like it's awkward eating alone?
I don't think it's really awkward. I think that if one of my friends saw me, they'd come and say, what's up? But I think it's cool to just, like, be by myself. And also, like, it really doesn't take that long to eat, too, so.
Oh, speak for yourself.
Okay.
I'm a very slow eater. Minimum 30 minutes per meal. Anyways, okay, this might be, like, more of a girl thing. No judgment. Anyone can do this, obviously. But from what I've seen, so many girls in college carry around, like, tote bags and, like, purses and stuff, like, huge purses instead of backpacks. And honestly, I'm here for it. I love it. I love it because, you know what? When I wake up in the morning and I have to put on my 15-pound backpack and it feels like a shell on my back, and I feel like it just makes me look not as put together, I'm not as excited. But when I have like my cute tote bag, oh, my mood is like elevated. You know, I feel like not only stylish, but like more comfortable, doesn't give me back pain. Like, I love seeing girls with tote bags and purses. It's just such a vibe. What is your opinion on this?
I think that if I put any bag on my shoulder for like more than 5 minutes, like my shoulders just hurts, bro.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, like it's like imbalanced, you know. It's like on one side. Imbalanced. Like a backpack is just like there. Like, I don't know how heavy my backpack is, but it's not that heavy. It's fine. I think backpacks are the tote bags.
Well, okay, so one person's in is another person's out. All right. Well, I still think it's an in. And I think, honestly, when you look good, you feel good. So I support the girls feeling good in their tote bags, whether or not we feel imbalanced, which I don't. I feel like max 15 pounds in my backpack. Max 10 pounds, honestly. Anyways, next in is... Oh, my gosh. Okay, speaking of dining halls, I said, this is like oddly specific for USC, but I said utilizing the to-go bowls / cups. Do you use those?
I have used them once.
Really?
Since they changed from the old system to the new system.
Exactly.
But
in.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe I should use it more. I will say the fact that they are not microwavable makes a big difference.
Who says that?
What do you mean? It says on the bottle, it's made out of metal. It's going to explode if it goes in the microwave.
Me personally, I've microwaved it.
Wow, so that's just a horrible idea.
In the USC dorms, and it has been completely fine. Okay, bear with me. It's like 30 seconds at a time max. Like 30 seconds pause, maybe it needs another 30 seconds. I've never had an issue with it.
I once put a Pop-Tart wrapper in the microwave and it started making a lightning, so.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Bad luck. Unlucky. Well, that's also why you have your own plates and bowls. You can just put it in there. The to-go thing is just to take it to-go. I guess, like, you mean the chore of, like, washing it?
Like, kind of.
Just eat it fresh.
No, I agree. To-go bowls aren't in. I don't know why I don't take to-go food anymore.
Yeah, the cup is a little silly. I mean, I just don't drink, like, juice and soda that much, so I would never use the cups, but, like, the bowls for sure. Like, when I have a really busy day and I don't have time to, like, sit and eat lunch, the to-go bowls I use, like, probably once every day. So, with the to-go bowls, like, when we first came as freshmen, this is so funny that it happened our year, but they were all disposable, like, cardboard, paper, right? Yeah. Plates, yeah. Bowls, to-go bowls. And they, like, switched it, like, our first month of school to the, like, metal bowls and cups. They're reusable, which obviously better for the environment, but the only downside is that obviously you have to return it, and it's within a 48-hour period, and what else? I guess it's not technically microwavable.
It literally says do not microwave on the bottom.
And what else? What's the other downside? I guess just that. I mean, you have to pay for it if you lose it or if it's overdue, but I think 48 hours is plenty for someone who goes to the dining hall multiple times a day. Yeah, I love them. Next. In is being early. Being early, because you know what? I am the last person to procrastinate. Should we pause?
Who is this? It's my dad.
Sorry, a little background noise. But I am the opposite of a procrastinator, and I think that everyone should just do it, and that society would be a better place if no one procrastinated. Okay, so a big thing with, like, college and being early is that a lot of teachers don't take attendance anymore or, like, check if you're tardy. I guess that doesn't really matter as much. But it's so awkward walking into a class late. So I think it's just, like, an unspoken rule that, like, you come on time, because otherwise you're known for being, like, that one person who comes in late. And obviously, you also want your professor to like you and all of that. And I like being early because it, like, genuinely stresses me out and makes me anxious when I'm late to things and I have to, like, speed walk or whatever to get there as soon as possible. And it would just be, everyone would just be so much more relaxed and in a better mood if we were, like, planned to be, like, 10, 15 minutes early to everything. Okay, maybe not 15 minutes early to class, but you know what I mean? Like, leaving early enough so that even if there's a distraction, you're there and you don't have to rush. Are you a procrastinator, Jared?
Yes, like, a lot.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. But in terms of being early to class, I think I show up probably, like, an average of, like 3 minutes before class.
Okay.
Because I like, always leave, like, right on time. And I just low-key just, like, skate to class. And I just try and, like, get the hell out of class.
I'm so jealous of skateboarders. I was going to say in, like, an in being skating, but then I realized I would just be lying. I'd be a poser because, like, the truth is I'm not going to learn how to skate and I'm not going to skate to class.
It's, USC is, like the prime campus to skate somewhere.
Really? Because it's flat?
Yeah, it's very flat.
Yeah. I think some of our roads are, like, questionable, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some.
Like, the one time you fell and dropped all of your groceries.
Right.
And got injured.
Okay.
It's like things like that happen. That's okay. Not good for your well-being. So
yeah, maybe
there's
not.
Downsides to it too.
It's a calculated risk.
Right. But yeah, honestly, overall, it's just a good thing to carry with you in life. It'll transfer to everything you do. Just being early and prepared, I think, is a big green flag. And yeah, it'll reduce anxiety and stress. I set alarms a lot. Like, I'll set alarms for not only when I wake up, obviously, but, like, when I need to leave. And I'll make it, like, a few minutes before I need to leave to give me some, like, wiggle room. And that's how I'm always on time, because I set alarms. I would not live without those. Have you ever tried that?
I don't set alarms to leave for class. I set alarms for everything else but that. But I don't know. If I'm ever late to class, I just try to not make too much noise and look like a fool.
Right. Speaking of alarms, do you like delete them as you go, or does your alarm list look like a lot of alarms with like every single minute of the hour of the day?
I actually have like I have a list of alarms that like stays the same. There's like an alarm for basically like each time period, but then I'll just change the hour sometimes. But I probably have like 10 alarms on my list.
That's not bad. That's like a pretty elaborate system though, like a thing for each time period. Mine wouldn't be that applicable. Like my alarms are like down to the minute, like the minute matters. That's why I have to make a new one every time I set one.
Well, I don't know. I just change the ones that I already have sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to have like a million. But one day I literally sat on my phone for probably 10 minutes straight and deleted every single alarm. And when I tell you there was like 1 minute gaps between most of them, like it was insane. Now I have like, I keep it clean. Do you think you're OCD?
Not particularly. Maybe in some things, but for the most part, no.
Oh, that brings me to my next in. Clean rooms. Clean dorm rooms. Clean dorm rooms are so in. They're so in. I know it was a little hectic at first, because it was our first time living on our own and with a roommate. So it's like, it's pretty unpredictable, like what your living situation is going to be. But I said like vacuuming and like candles, stuff like that. I think you have some input there. You have a very clean room.
I do kind of clean my room a lot. I'm a D1 vacuumer. When I get out the vacuum, I'm moving the shoe rack. I'm lifting every single thing on
all
the floor.
All the crevices.
Yeah, I'm getting every little corner of the room.
Come vacuum my room. I'll give you something.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I vacuum my room.
Really?
I keep my place clean.
Not even for like a treat?
Like a treat? Treat?
Like a snack? In my...
Like a Scooby snack?
Maybe. I would so trade.
You don't have any Scooby snacks.
I would do a trade. I don't really like... I think the worst part is getting the vacuum. Because for us, we have to go downstairs and check it out. I don't even know how to check it out. Because every time I've used a vacuum, it's been from you.
Well, you honestly walk up to them and ask them, oh, can I have the vacuum? And they'll just say, yeah. And you write your name and you come back and you just bring it back.
That's fair. I should try it sometime. Me and my roommate are a little messy sometimes. Not with clothes, just like with crumbs and stuff. Because again, we don't vacuum often. But that's an in. So actually, when we get back to school, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk down there and check out my own vacuum. I'm going to bring it up and down by myself.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I think everyone else should too. It'll just be great. And, oh my gosh, another in, this is for college students. This is my target audience. So if this is common sense, like whatever, but separating like whites and colored clothes for laundry. Tell me why it took me the whole first semester to realize it was staining my clothes. And I just started doing it after we got back from winter break. Can you believe that?
I can believe that. But that is a bad decision. Separate the lights from the darks. Always run the cold wash. Yeah, ensures that I'll never stain.
I know. So many of my white articles of clothing have like pink/red tints on it. It's always the pink and red. It's never like the other colors, which is interesting. But yeah, I'm changed. It's just really annoying now, because now like when I do laundry, it's like 3 loads. But it is what it is. Did you do your laundry at home? Is that how you knew?
Yeah, I did. But also, I think that, I don't know, I thought people knew that lights and darks were a thing.
I've heard of that. I just didn't know how essential it was. Like, I thought it was just a safety precaution, not that it would actually, like, really happen often.
Did you use, like, a warm or a hot wash cycle?
I did warm, like, every time.
I think if you do cold and mix the lights and the darks, that...
Yeah, but what about in the dryer?
I don't think that that it will stain in the dryer. I think that it's stain in the wash.
Okay. Well, this tip is for someone else now, because I know now. I'm sure everyone else knows. I just feel like maybe not everyone puts in enough effort to, like, do it, you know? Maybe they, like, don't care enough. That was me for a second. Next in, we'll get to out soon, don't worry. Next in is, I said having, like, a meaningful relationship instead of, like, there's no nicer way to put this, but just, like, college hookup culture. I think that's, like, a very real thing that people just know. And I think, like, things like Greek life and, like, living on your own for the first time and, like, being in mixed dorms and everything, like, really just furthers that culture. But I, for one, find it pretty, like, unfulfilling. It's also just, like, really stressful. I feel like when I've heard my friends talk about it and, like, situationships and whatnot, especially in that environment, it can just really get toxic and, again, unfulfilling and unproductive, and usually it leads to nothing. So I put that as an in, because I was saying, like, prioritizing more meaningful ones rather than, like, surface level or superficial ones. Yeah. Any thoughts? I know you agree, but, like...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's another thing with Greek life. That's one of the bigger reasons why I personally am not as interested in a sorority, because I feel like a lot of it revolves around, like, frat relations and, like, trying to set each other up. And I don't know. That's just my take. But I'm sure it's fun for a lot of people who enjoy it. I think I'm gonna come back to the ins, but this one out is so targeted towards you, and I want to see you try to vouch for yourself, because it's definitely an out, but it's DoorDash, or, like, Uber Eats, food delivery services.
I will agree that they do waste a lot of money, but there is something about being hungry at 2 or 3 a.m. and trying to find something that you can eat. But yeah, it's like an extra, like, $15 to something that should not cost $35 whenever you order.
Right. It's like you're spending $30 on McDonald's instead of the 10 or 15. I'm just in such disbelief every time you guys do that. Because I'm like, there's no way you paid $15 for a McChicken.
Yeah. I will say, desperate times call for desperate measures.
I also feel like, delivery services should be more of, like, a delicacy. In my head, it's like, wow, like, I get to just order this food and it comes to me and it's ready. Like, for me, I would want that to be more of, like, a reward or, like, a once-in-a-while type of thing, rather than just, like, every single day. Because I feel like once it gets to, like, every single day or even, like, multiple times a week, it's like you're taking the easy way out every time. And, like, instead of learning how to prepare something or, like, eating healthier options, it's like, sorry, I don't mean to hate on your eating habits, but, like, those are my thoughts on it. I don't know, but it's also just because I'd never do it. I don't know, maybe I'd get sucked in if I did it a time or two.
Quick intermission. Welcome back. It's a new day. I hope you enjoyed the feature with my good friend Jared. After it was a very abrupt ending with him, but after we ended, we did some reflecting, and we both really liked the topic. He also enjoyed it. We were both just a little tired, so I chose to continue this another day by myself, which I kind of like, because instead of like guiding conversation, I feel like I can just be more authentic and get all my thoughts out. So resuming with the outs, because that's where me and Jared left off. I know I touched a little bit about like bags, purses, tote bags on campus as being an in. This on the flip side, I think that the changing fashion trends and like keeping up with fashion trends in general is going to be an out for me this year. I personally am really into like sustainability and the environment, and so my New Year's resolution for 2023, which I had just completed successfully, was to not buy any clothes firsthand, with the exception of like formal clothing, like dresses for events, and then USC spirit wear, because you know it was my first year as a freshman. I'm gonna want to buy merch. So those were the two exceptions I gave myself. Everything else I decided to shop through flea markets and thrift shops, which was actually a super rewarding experience. It was really easy at first. I'd say the first half of the year was really easy because I was just kind of like tired of shopping for clothes and feeling, I guess, guilty every time I would make a purchase, whether it was about overconsumption in the environment or just spending money and wasting money. It's kind of how I viewed it as. And then it did progressively get harder as I hadn't had new clothes in a while. It was much harder to shop when you're like selectively going to thrifting and secondhand. And so yeah, that was successful for last year. I'm not doing it again this year, but maybe another time in the future. But essentially just like on college campuses, I think especially at this stage in our lives in college, there are so many students from across the country and across the world, so international students. And I think there's this kind of stereotype that comes with that, that everyone needs to look their best or try to impress everyone else on campus, whether it's like who's the most, you know, fashion forward, stylish, or like who has the money to be able to do so. And that's a lot with like the designer bags and shoes, clothes in general. So I think that's very, at least for in my experience, I went to a public high school in Northern Virginia. I feel like there was not nearly as much of a need to be super fashion forward. Everyone was kind of like familiar with each other. But now that we're, you know, adulting and meeting way more people and being exposed to way more things, it's easier to compare yourself to others when it comes to that stuff. And just being at college exposes you to a different bracket of people, you know, like different levels of money and culture and places that people come from that might prioritize fashion and putting yourself together well more than, you know, Americans do. I think it's funny, especially with like international students, they always try to look their best every day, at least from what I've heard, whether it's like dressing super nice or just putting that extra effort in. Whereas in America, it's very common for people to just wear sweatpants and like casual, super casual t-shirts, you know, hair in a bun, ponytail, whatever it may be. Do whatever you feel comfortable in is the moral of my story, because it's not that I don't like getting dressed up. I definitely do. It's just these evolving fashion trends that are constantly happening around us are not sustainable environmentally, financially, and they're just, you know, a very fast means of enjoyment that go away, you know. It's instant gratification. There you go. And it's nothing that's going to give you a positive well-being in the long run. So that's an out for me. Moving on from fashion, and focusing more on the academic side of college, another big out, this might be the biggest out, in my opinion, is doing things for a resume. This is pretty self-explanatory, but it's like, what do you mean for a resume? I want to do these things because they'll get me a job and they'll get me an internship. I've met so many people, especially now, again, at this level when it's hyper-competitive and we're actually, you know, working towards our careers at this age, where people think joining as many clubs as possible will help you, just to say you did it, right? And I've genuinely heard people who are in like over 10 clubs at the school as freshmen, and it's just hard to believe that with that level of commitment you're making an impact in those clubs. Like, are you actually, you know, being an active board member or being an innovative leader and holding a position in that club and giving it your all? And what do you think you're gaining from it? I think time is super valuable, especially now. And I cannot imagine committing every single day of my week to multiple clubs that I don't think are going to actually teach me something I'm not gonna gain something from. And that's not to say you shouldn't do fun clubs. That's you should definitely do fun clubs and things for leisure, like a dance club, pottery, whatever you're interested in. Those are great. I'm more of speaking on like getting leadership positions because you can, and then not giving those clubs enough time and attention for them to flourish to their full potential. So that's when it can be too much. It's also really easy, again, to compare yourself to others when you're like, wow, they're in so many clubs, they do so many things, but it's like, what are they actually making an impact in, and will their future employer see through that? I think it is pretty easy for people to know whether or not you genuinely care about cause and a club just by asking you a few questions about it and what your participation looks like. So I think resume out, doing things that actually will further your career that you enjoy, and hobbies, things like that are in. And that's what I'm trying to do this semester with my clubs. You know, I'm prioritizing, you know, two or three, making it selective so that I can, you know, fulfill these leadership positions and be like participating as much as I can, putting in all my energy. And this way it also just reduces your stress. It's like, why are you going to so many club meetings for things that aren't going to help you out? So again, back to well-being, focusing on what really matters to you. Switching up a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about friendships, because friendships in college are so different than any other friendships I've experienced, honestly. Well, one, you get so close to people so fast. It's true. I've met some of my best friends in college, and those people became my best friends within a matter of a couple months. And it's just different because, you know, you're living together, especially the first year, first semester. There's just so many events to get to know everyone, being around each other 24/7. There's a lot of pressure to, you know, merge into this social circle and build your own connections here so that you're not lonely and that you have people to rely on campus. So by going out to parties and joining clubs and, you know, making class friends, you kind of gain these friendships quickly. But I think it's also very important to realize, which is something I'm realizing a lot more towards second semester, which is now for me, is that friendships are still changing and dynamic, and they're never static. This is true for every relationship, but friendship breakups in college are hard because it's you might see the person every single day or you might never see the person. So there's a number of reasons why falling outs can happen. And they are difficult because, once again, like, you feel like you need a certain amount of friends and best friends in college. Otherwise, you won't feel supported. You won't feel like you have people to rely on, especially when you're living away from home. This can increase, you know, homesickness and increase overall stress when you're trying to focus on other things like your academics. So I think it's really big to not feel bad about changing friendships and, you know, falling out with people, making new friends, and realizing, you know, some people you might not want to be as close to as you were in the beginning. And that's okay. It's because we're all meeting each other and it's, again, super, super new. So there shouldn't be any pressure on that. We have 4 years as freshmen, at least, to figure out our college friends, and there are so many opportunities to meet people, which is honestly the best when you do things that you love. So, like, career things you love, hobbies that you love, when you find groups and organizations that focus on those things, I think they'll come the most naturally. It's also a bonus if you're just friends with the people you live with or are close with, which I was super lucky to have. But this kind of ties into feeling bad about not keeping up with all your friends. So say your social life is going great, but maybe your academics not so much, or maybe they're just taking up so much of your time and creating so much stress that you feel like you don't have the time to see all your friends and catch up with them, and you're starting to feel more distant, which has definitely happened to me when I get caught in a loop of, you know, constantly class, homework, studying, and by the time that I'm done with all of that and work, it's like I really only have the energy to see like two or three people, the same two or three people every time. And so this makes it really easy to neglect other friendships and relationships you've built along the way, and from forming new ones, from reaching out to new people that you've been wanting to talk to and get to know. This is difficult, but it is very understandable and natural. You'll go through waves and periods of time within the school year and your life in general where you're busier and more stressed than others, and that's okay. I think recognizing that you're doing your best is super healthy for yourself, and not making yourself feel bad about not keeping up with every single friend or being as social as you should be, because as long as you're happy and afloat, other people should understand. And I think everyone is pretty busy and going through their own things. So even if it's as simple as a quick phone call while you're walking to class, or shoot them a good morning text and ask to catch up, that is mostly manageable. And responding to texts, responding to calls if you're super busy, again, don't feel super bad about that. People should understand. I think we're at the point in our lives where we won't take it personally if someone takes a day or two to respond, because we know that it's not personal, and it's honestly draining going on your phone and getting a bunch of text messages and feeling like you have to address everything as if it's urgent, when you're trying to live in the moment and, you know, reduce screen time and be productive in other areas of your life. So I think the balance is key, but giving yourself that forgiveness and empathy when you're trying to navigate the balance between coursework and friendships and hobbies is super important. Whew, that was a lot. Okay, I think we're going to switch it up a little bit, and I want to go back to ins, because we were talking about outs for a lot. Back to ins. This is the second segment of that, this time by myself. So for ins, we talked about a lot of things like being early, meaningful relationships, trying new clubs, eating alone at the dining hall, making coffee at the dining hall. Oh my god, I will never get over that one. It's so easy to do instead of buying Starbucks or Dolce every day, which is like wasteful. regarding like the waste and the money spent and the time spent. Honestly, dining hall coffee is on top, at least at Parkside. There's roasted black coffee, they've decaf, they've creamers, they've half and half, they've sugar and honey, and it's just so easy. I've actually perfected my coffee order, my coffee creation actually, which is just like 3/4 a cup of black coffee and then basically the rest of it with creamer. I know that's a lot. Don't judge me. That's how I like my coffee. I won't drink black coffee. But I don't add any half and half in sugar. I've just learned that this is the simple and best way for me at the dining hall, at least. But I love doing this. And the portions are really good, I think. So I highly recommend. Next up, we have supporting your friends at their events. That's my next in, super applicable to my life right now. I related this to a bunch of different friends in college as we're all trying new things. For instance, I've been invited to watch speeches and presentations, also competitions if they're involved in that kind of thing, and then also just like sports. I have a couple of friends that are also athletes, whether it's a club sport or an outside team. I also have a friend at USC that races, like actually race car races at tracks. I have another friend that does like lacrosse, and people who participate in competitions, and I think those are a super cool way to not only support your friend and see what the school has to offer, but it's also just to learn more about each of these opportunities. And you never know, it might intrigue you more than you expect it to. So I think this common theme of like trying new things and having an open mind is crucial during times of change, because if you have too much of a staggered mindset or idea of what you want your life to look like, oftentimes it won't turn out like that, and you don't want to be disappointed. I think it's really important to embrace change. Wow, I went on a tangent, but I guess that relates to another in, which is embracing change. I know a lot of students, that go to USC are not from California, or from Southern California to be more specific, and that's a really big step we're taking as we're, you know, moving out of our homes for the first time and experiencing a new culture, a new community. I think embracing change is really important for a healthy mindset, having that kind of abundance mindset that you will find the things that are meant for you as long as you put yourself out there and are optimistic about things. A lot of things are hard to participate in here, like clubs. Sometimes they're selective, sometimes you just don't know about them. But I think that through making friends and joining clubs, slowly you will find things that are right for you. Moving on, another in that I really prioritize, and I'm going to give some examples on how I do it, is organization. And I mean making a conscious effort in becoming more organized. So I do this by using things like a checklist. I'm so big on this. This is like what I live by. So I used to, I think over COVID, which was my sophomore year of high school, I started using like a physical notebook as a checklist. And there was something about the checklist that was just so satisfying to me. Like, I would way rather use the checklist function. And it's like each day has its own like bullet points that you write down and then check off as you finish. I would have way rather used that than just used like a calendar or a plain lined paper. So that's how it started out. I used that religiously for probably 2 years. And then once I began my senior year of high school, To be honest, I think I got lazy and like just didn't buy a checklist senior year. But then I started using my phone, like my notes app, and it actually works perfectly. And honestly, I prefer it a lot more just because it's so much easier to access, and it's always with me. So if I'm not with my notebook or home or wherever, I can still always see the stuff I have to do, what I can work on in that moment. And it's just super effective in helping me be productive at all times. Also just so I'm not forgetful. So typically I use the notes app, and then there's a bullet point feature where you can literally tap it and check it off and it'll move to the bottom. And it's super satisfying. I do that every day, and then I delete the ones that I've completed at the end of the day so that I can use it again the next day. And it's perfect. It's a perfect system. I also write the day that it's due next to it if that's like necessary, just so I know which ones are like pressing. And I'll put an emoji. I'll put the exclamation point emoji, the red one, so it's like super bolded, next to the ones that are urgent. So like the ones that I need to do by the end of the day. Otherwise, the rest will just get passed on till the next day, or whenever I have free time to do them. Another thing that you could do to stay more organized is using Google Calendar. This is also something I heavily rely on. Actually, I use Apple Calendar. I use the Calendar app, and all of my class schedules are inputted in there. So every single day, I can just check what my classes are. This helps a lot in the beginning of the year, but then also just all year for me. I'd feel like I would be much more forgetful and like late to classes if I didn't have this, because I check it basically between every class I have. So on it, I add the class, the time, the location, and then I also add like my work schedule, my clubs, any other commitments or events I'll put on my calendar, and it makes life so much easier. It's super accessible. I honestly don't know what I would do without it. And also, when people send Zoom links to your email, like Zoom invitations, it'll show up on your Google Calendar ready, so you know exactly where you can join. It's super convenient, and it does not take long at all to input your information. Last thing I do for organization is I use like alarms and timers sometimes. Alarms primarily just sometimes when I leave for class, if I have a lot of free time in between, I don't want to get lost in what I'm doing. So I'll set an alarm a few minutes before I'm supposed to leave, just so I can gather my things without having to be constantly checking my phone or worrying about it. I think that helps a lot, but this can also apply to anything else that you need an alarm for. It goes beyond waking up. At least for me. So I think those are all ins and super helpful ways to stay on track of your schedule. And I think this like honestly reduces my stress and makes me feel more productive and like happier at the end of the day, because I get done what I want to get done and I'm not losing track of anything. You know, things are in place. So yeah, highly recommend. Another in, which a lot of people already do, but I don't think we use it as much as we could, is utilizing the Frifts. If you don't know what a Frift is, it's essentially just the free Lyft, the rideshare service. So being a USC student, you get free rides after 7 p.m. Anywhere around, I believe it's a 2-mile radius of campus. This is just amazing because me and my friends are able to go to restaurants, because LA's around campus, there's actually a lot to do. Surprisingly, we've found good restaurants. There's a good Indian restaurant down the street. There are good like Mexican restaurants, taco trucks. Like there are so many places, boba shops, and even fast food. Like there's Taco Bell's, McDonald's, things like that within a 2-mile radius. And it just makes it so much safer and quicker and cheaper to access these places, which I really appreciate. And sometimes, even when it's not that far, I will thrift from different dorm buildings. Like if I'm walking from like the Village all the way back to like Parkside, that's generally like a 15-minute walk. So if I'm doing that late at night, I would much rather have like a secured ride than have to walk in the dark for that long, especially when it's like cold in the winter. So I personally use them a lot, like multiple times a week, which is super helpful for me. So I appreciate those. I will say I recommend using them with a friend just because we do have a lot of safety warnings and situations that happen, some of them including the rideshare services, because Lyft drivers, they're not all certified, I think, as Uber drivers are. So stuff like background checks don't always happen. I don't know, it's just good to be cautious and be aware of your surroundings as you're in those rides. But being a friend always helps. You're able to bring up to two people for a free Lyft at a time. Sometimes they let you bring three if you're just polite and ask about it. But yeah, those are amazing. And then my last in. This is my very last in. Especially applicable to freshmen in college is exploring campus. And this is not just like the places we all already know, like the Village. I was just introduced to new places on campus that I've never heard of, like little shops. For example, Ministry of Coffee, really pretty place, outdoor seating. It's right outside the Village. They have great pastries and coffee. And similar to that, there's also Coffee Bean. There's another coffee shop. And I feel like these are just so overlooked. Like I need to go back because I think everyone only goes to Starbucks and Dulce. And there are plenty of other good shops around with probably much shorter lines. So I definitely want to explore those, find new study spots, places to enjoy outside. I think that's really important to have on campus, so we're not always stuck in our dorms and libraries, so on. Also, it doesn't have to be food related. There's also little like gardens and stuff. I know there's the Rose Garden, I believe, right outside the stadium, the Coliseum. And it's across from a museum. There's the Natural History Museum. And there's so much to see there. I went there. There's like a little aquarium. There's a bunch of museums within a 1 mile radius, at least three. And they're all worth a visit. Many of them are free as well. So it's super easy for us to go walk there. There's also the garden, as I said. There's also the University Club Garden, which I didn't know about. It's a pretty small garden, but it is really cool. There's like rock structures, plants, and it's hidden. It's just really cute. And I feel like it would be a really good place to, you know, journal or write or call family and friends, or even just talk one-on-one with someone. It's definitely really relaxing and it's pretty and definitely something we should take a look into, because I think spending time outdoors and just like exploring and doing new things every day can definitely contribute to better health, better mental health, things like that. Okay, I lied. I have one more in, and it is naps, which is what I'm going to do after this podcast is being done recorded. But power naps are so in. Naps are hard to do. Naps are hard to do when we're on a busy schedule, but we underestimate the power of a power nap. This is typically like 10 to 20, 25 minutes. I think it's supposed to be under 30 minutes, but I actually have a great app for that. I use this app called Sleep Cycle. I'm sure there are other apps that work great, but this one has just been amazing. Basically, when you take a nap, you put a ballpark of when you want to wake up, and there's a 30 minute margin of when you could wake up and when your alarm will go off. And it depends on where you are in your sleep cycle. So before you take a nap, you set the 30 minute margin. And there's actually a microphone on the app that tracks your breathing and your movement, whether you're like tossing and turning, all of that, and it can track when you are in REM and which stage of sleep you're in, and wake you up within that 30 minute margin when you are at your lightest sleep, so you have the easiest wake and you feel the most refreshed, rather than, you know, an alarm abruptly waking you up in the middle of REM. I was a little unsure at first, but this app is so amazing. It works so perfectly. Like, genuinely, every time it wakes me up, I'm already moving. I'm like unconsciously awake, and I just didn't know it until the alarm goes off, and I just feel so good when I wake up. I feel like it was perfect timing. It works nearly every single time, and it's definitely worth a shot for power naps. So, oh, and it's like super relaxing. The alarm is like super soothing. It doesn't like alarm you like the regular iPhone alarms. The iPhone alarms are like way too much sometimes. But yeah, I think that is it. Just for fun, I'll throw in one more out to end it on an out note. Not using AirPods in a social setting. I feel like a lot of people do this, and I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like when I have AirPods in, I'm so much more antisocial. I don't care to talk to people. I honestly can't even hear them, so that also decreases the chances of me joining in on a conversation. And I think that's something we should refrain from doing, unless we're, you know, studying or trying to have alone time and peace and quiet. Otherwise, I think AirPods aren't out, and talking to people and saying hi to people as you're passing is in, because little connections like that are what make each day a little bit happier, in my opinion. So yeah, I hope you could enjoy my silly opinions on these things. I tried to provide some perspective and just food for thought. You could disagree with some of these, but this is generally what I think and what I'm gonna be trying to practice in my life. All of these, one way or another, tie back to well-being, whether it be happiness, stress, fulfillment, and so on. So take what you will, but I will see you guys another week for the next episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you. Bye.